This project I'm going to present now was a prayer, a result of a prayer. It has not been easy. We have had many challenges. Yeah. And God has been faithful to us. This project had started in my heart during a prayer retreat in 2015, when we were together with this community, we were evangelizing them, giving them the word of God, and God spoke into my heart, and I have this feeling, this burden to support the community. So I was praying about this, and the target is to have an holistic project, the project that can sustain itself, that we don't need any support from outside. So that's why the target to have the farm was generated. And the poultry, we have tried also to have poultry, but the challenge, actually the challenge that we are having is the road. The road is totally damaged, that we can't do anything. Even to take the chicken from the farm to go to the market is a problem. So we are planning to relocate the poultry, but still keeping the growing pineapples and everything will be still there, because the farm actually is feeding many people in the region there. It's feeding them. And also the farm actually is the place of worship. I forgot to bring some pictures because I don't know. I forgot because I don't know that I will have the opportunity to show all this today. So, but I still have some content that if you need, I can share with you on how the project is going and everything. May God bless you. I want to take this moment to appreciate Cross Life Church for the support that we have received from you, for your prayers, for everything that you have done for this project. May God bless you. We are really honored to have you aside along with us in this project. May God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Before the foundation of the earth, you have already chosen us, and you make us to be a people, a nation for you, a holy people. And you have granted us your spirit, and you save us, and you put us into a higher places. We thank you for the love by which you love us. We thank you for this opportunity. I pray, O Lord, let thy word be established in our hearts this evening. Grant us wisdom and knowledge. Lead us through your revelation, that we may perceive and understand what is your will for us. Thank you, Father. Take control and do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer life. I really enjoy listening to this couple of messages about prayer life. And when my brother told me that actually the theme for the church is a prayer life, I'm already excited, because, you know, it is very important for us to know that prayer is part of our life as a Christian. And prayer life is a priesthood ministry. According to Revelation 5:8, he called us to be kings and priests. And prayer is not only a communication with our God, but prayer is above that. It's a communion, koinonia, with God. And we understand that not having a prayer life, we are open to any risk. Let me bring this down. There is a risk outside. There is a risk in the world in which we are. Everyone is praying for his God to protect him, to bless him, to give him his expectation. Imagine that we have the mechanic guy who stand up early in the morning and he's praying to his God, bless me, open the door for me. What this prayer means exactly that, let a car broke, that I can have a job. Is not it? Let it be a breakthrough for me. Bless me with something. So on. Everybody is praying. The mortal doctor also is praying for a funeral. This is a business also for him. Who is going to die? The outside is risky. And only a prayer man that can survive in this atmosphere. That's why it's very important for us that to know that no matter how the circumstances, no matter how things are happening into our life, we need to hold on this prayer life. Jesus Christ, when he got to the temple, he flogged them out. He sent them out. He said, this house should be called the house of prayer. And we understand that the disciples, the apostles were with Jesus for years. They saw Jesus raising the dead. They saw Jesus walking on the sea. They saw Jesus operating miracles, doing wonders, feeding people supernaturally. They saw all this. They saw Jesus raising people, cleaning leprosy. Yeah, leprosy. Sorry, my English is not too good. My English is like the fourth or fifth languages. My first language, my second, my third is French. So English is like the fifth one. So sorry, bear with me. Okay. So when the disciples were looking at Jesus, his ministry, on how he's doing his things, his communion with the Father, how he can speak, how he can teach, and everything. They were with him when they saw him on the Transfiguration Mountain. His appearance was changed. They saw all these supernatural mysteries. Then they get closer to Jesus because all can't go together. They send one and they ask, can you go? But the Bible does not tell us who were these disciples that were closer to Jesus and asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Which means, what is your prayer lifestyle? Can you teach us your prayer life style? Because we have perceived how you were doing things And this is totally different from Pharisees. This is totally different from people that we know that they know God. But how you worship God is totally different. Can you give us this secret? We can't say that the disciple don't know how to pray at this point. Because all Jews, we know that they know the law. They pray three times a day. But when they are looking at Jesus, his prayer lifestyle is totally different. And they understood that this power that Jesus is operating is not from only the word, is not only from what he's doing, but the source of this power is his prayer life. That's why they ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. Show us your prayer life. If we can be like you, if we can pray like you, so we can do things that you are doing, show us your prayer life. Brethren, I want to encourage you to have a prayer lifestyle that is Jesus kind. Not just like people do, but how Jesus does. This is so important. But today, I'm going to speak on another topic. This is just an introduction to my topic today. My topic is talking about faith, because we can't dissociate faith from the prayer. Faith is a part of prayer. Nobody can communicate with God without faith. And I want to encourage the church today by speaking on a topic that's titled Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. Fighting the good fight of faith. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have been put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. This is King James Version?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go also to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou hast called, and thou confess good confession in the sight of many witnesses. So our last reading will be 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at the day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. Amen. May God bless his word. Amen. Fighting the good fight of faith. We all know that fight is an action to win a competition. It's to wrestle. It's to get into a combat. And the target is to overcome your adversary. And the target in fighting is, I won't lose. I need to be a winner. This is the fight. But now we are talking about fighting the good fight of faith, which means that we have the bad fight, the ugly fight, and then we have the good fight, the better fight. Wow. And the person that can talk about these fights of faith, that is, should be good or bad, is Paul. And Paul is really the man that have fought the ugly fight and the good fight. So we all know that the faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is the assurance of things we hope for and the conviction of the thing that we don't see. We don't see that we have the thing, but we, by faith, we believe that we have it. We have that. That is the faith. So Apostle Paul is teaching his son, spiritual son, Timothy. And he said, Timothy, you are my servant. You have been here with me. I taught you how to worship God, how to go, how to preach, how to do everything. And recently there is a prophecy that is coming up concerning you, concerning your ministry, that there will be time that you need to fight a fight that is a fight of faith. That's why, my son, I'm urging you, I'm encouraging you to keep the good fight of faith. Timothy can't understand what Paul is meaning because, you know, Timothy was from a Christian family and his mom and his grandmom all have faith, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1. They all have faith. And the young boy from his childhood knows God, and he know how to approach. He has faith already. But the old man is telling him again, my son, you need to fight that fight of faith. I can imagine Timothy coming closer to Paul, maybe early in the morning or late in the night, and can ask Paul, Father, 3 times you were saying to me, fight the good fight. I don't know. Can you help me? What do I supposed to do? I want to be in the same dimension that you are in your prayer style. Things that God have revealed to you in the third dimension, and you were not allowed to speak this to anybody. I want to have the same relationship that you have with God. And by you, God is doing these wonders, miracles, and things. I want that. I want also to operate in that dimension, leading the church in truth, in a good leadership. How can I do? And Paul can say to Timothy, my son, I have fought the bad fight before. And in my zeal, I was thinking that I was fighting the good fight. I was persecuted the saints, the Christians. I got some of them killed and people were clapping for me. I was boasted in my ego, thinking that I was serving God. But unfortunately, it is by grace that I was rescued from this dimension. And now I'm continuing fighting the good fight. And the son can ask him, how can I fight the good fight? Paul can answer him and say, "You know, my son, I have not done anything. I just preached the gospel. They put me into prison. But in the prison, in the darkness, I still keep my prayer life. I have not abandoned my faith. I have not said, 'Why, God, I'm serving you, I'm faithful to you. Why have you allowed me to get into this prison?' I have not said that. I keep praying in the prison until they get me out, but they have not just released me. They beat me 39 times. I have not said, 'Why me? Oh God, if it is true that I'm worshiping you, why I have been passing through these difficult times?' I have not said that. Because of the gospel, I endure things, but I have kept the fight, praying every time like before. I still holding on God like before. Nothing cannot separate from, and he can tell his son, he say, "Son, one time I can remember that I was bitten by a serpent. People were mocking at me. They were saying, 'It is because I'm a sinner. If not, I'm not a sinner. Why the serpent bite me?' I have not give up. I continue in prayer. In prayer. In prayer. Till my son, I that can operate miracles, my shadow can even heal people, I got sick. 3 times I went before God and I said, 'Father, I'm suffering. Please heal me.' And the Father turned unto me and he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you. That's all.' I go back. I return to the Lord and I say, 'Lord, it's like you are not understanding what is happening to me. I'm saying I'm suffering. I'm in a bad time. I'm in a bad situation. Can you help me, heal me as you are healing people through my ministry?' And the Lord turned again unto me and he says, 'My son,' I said it already, I'm saying it again, 'my grace is sufficient for you. That's all you need. Go back.' When I went back, I have not abandoned my faith. I have not abandoned my prayer life. I continue in prayer. I return to the Lord 3rd time. And the 3rd time, he says to me again, 'My son, my grace is all you need. Go and do your ministry.' Having this pain along with me, I was feeling the pain, but I was healing others' pain. I have this sickness in me, but I was healing other people. Can you imagine? We are in a time that our generation is polluted, that we lost the stamina to hold on prayer until something happened. I pray for you. Nothing will separate you from the love of God." He says to Timothy, "Timothy, you know, either sword, either we don't have anything to eat, nothing cannot separate us from the love of God." There will be tribulation, son. You don't need to give up. There will be bad time. You don't need to give up on your prayer life. Pray like never before. Hold on unto the eternal life. Because some have lost that. The target is in the fight, but they have not hold on unto the eternal life. When you are fighting this fight, still keep your mind on the eternal life, knowing that this world is not our home. One day we are going to meet him. One day we are going to leave this place. This should be in our mind, my son. Fight the good fight of it. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. We have many patriarchs in the Bible. Even the women were praying when Tabitha died. They were praying. The church said, no, Tabitha can't go. We need Tabitha in this ministry. She is our woman president. We need her participation. She was the one who was helping the church. We need her back to life. They were praying. And when they were praying, nothing would happen until they get Peter back. And Peter, we need you, apostle. If you don't say anything, if you let Tabitha die, the church will break into pieces. We need her in our congregation. Do something for us. This is faith. Faith is calling us into a prayer that we have not to lose one soul among us. We don't need to lose, no. If somebody, my brother or my sister, is in among us, I will be my brother's keeper. When I'm on my knee, I will pray for him or for her. His or her family problem is my burden. I will pray for him. That's how we need to fight for the good fight of faith. Many times what happened into our lives is when we are in a good situation, things are moving well and things are on our direction, we really appreciate worshiping God. And that is true. That's innate in us what we call thanksgiving. Because we appreciate, we present our gratitude to God for everything, because things are going well. But the challenge comes when things are not in our direction, when things are opposite to us, when you are praying but you are broke, you are oppressed, and you have debts, you have problems, you have sickness, people that are around you that's at that point that you will know that you are fighting the good fight or you are not fighting the good fight. Hallelujah. Fighting the good fight of faith. I love the Bible study that we just have early before the worship time. We will stop at Luke 18, verse 8. One thing that Jesus says is, he said, when the Son of Man will come back, will he see faith? Not believers, but faith on earth. This is deep. It's really deep. Faith on earth. Not only believers, Because when the faith will be on earth, the prayer will be on earth. When we still have faith, they will still have believers. One thing the devil uses is fear. Fear also looks exactly like faith. Fear is the imagination of unseen things that you pretend to see, and this is making you to run. I remember when I was young, we have our restroom far in the bush. So you need to walk in the darkness till you get there. And when you are walking, you can imagine that there are some monsters in the bush that would like to catch you. So in your imagination, you can imagine that the shadow is forming somebody that is coming after you. This is imagination. And fighting the good fight of it. I'm encouraging the church today with this word. If the Apostle Paul is here this time, he will say it again. Fight the good fight. The Christians in America need to fight the good fight. There are some churches that are fighting the bad fight. The intention, the vision, is not the same vision with heaven vision. We need to fight. Come back to the real fight. And this is in the ground of prayer. Prayer ground. Not only saying things or words cannot do anything in this battle. In this battle, the only thing that we need is go to our knees. Praying for our children, our grandchildren. They won't be like the others. They won't walk like the others. Fighting the good fight of faith. You know, one thing that the prayer does, and I really appreciate, prayer always, a prayerful man or prayer gives us the ability to keep our peace even in the storm. Jesus and his disciples were in the boat. In the midst of the tornado, the winds is against them, the seas, the water was not calm, but the man was sleeping. Why? Before they start their journey, he was in prayer. When you start the day with a prayer, you will end it in glory. Jesus starts his ministry in prayer, and he ends his ministry also in prayer. We need to keep our prayer, our altar, prayer altar, alive again. If we don't say anything, the devil will destroy things around us. If we don't raise our voice, the devil is looking for who to devour. He's looking for who. It will not be my children. It will not be my children's children. I will be on my knees. I will need to pray. That is our responsibilities as parents, as Christians, to pray for each other, to pray for our generations, to pray for our grandchildren. The woman comes to Jesus and she says, my daughter, First of all, she was not Jewish, a Canaanite woman with many barriers to approach Jesus. But one thing that the woman was saying is, help! I need help. Lord, what is happening to my family now? I need help. I don't need any eloquency or any protocols to know. What I need is help. Somebody need to help me in this matter. Brethren, keep fight this fight. Fight the fight for your children. This wind of the world will not take them away. We will pray for them. We will raise them as an army for God. And when we will depart from this earth, they will call us the God of my father, the God of my mother. May God bless you. Fight the good fight of faith. The disciples, the only thing they ask is, teach us. And he says to them, pray like this. Our Father, Matthew says, our Father that is in heaven. Till then, nobody can call God his father. It's not permitted in Jewish tradition to call God a father. That is making a relationship between father and son, father and daughter. Our Father. It is our Father. And anytime that we go to him, he listens to our prayers. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Things are not going well, don't give up. Things are upset down, don't give up. Things are looking like it can never be right again. Don't give up. Get into a prayer realm. Ask God to help you. He will help you. Amen. Can we pray? The prophet Micah says in chapter 7, verse 7 to 8, he says, my enemies, rejoice not over me, rejoice not against me, that I fall. I will raise again. If I lost my prayer style, that does not mean that you have overcome me, devil. I will come back again. I will come back again. Even if I sit down in the darkness, the Lord shall be my light. We need a revival, internal revival, that will make us to be focused on prayer. A consistent prayer life. Not just to pray for like 4 days and then have a break for like 5 years before coming back to the prayer life. No. A consistent prayer. The Jews have 3 times prayer life. The Muslim does have 5. The Muslim do have 5 times in a day to pray. The Hindu, they have 2 times. And we as a Christian, how many times do we have? Always. Always. The true worshippers will worship in truth and in spirit. Even if I'm in a restroom, I'm sitting communicating with him. On my bed, I'm communicating with him. Everywhere I am, I can communicate with him. I don't need to take water to wash myself, my feet before going before him. No. By the blood, I'm justified. And I have a large access to the throne room. I can go there wherever I want. And whenever I want, I can go to the throne room because I'm justified. We have an opportunity that David, the patriarch, doesn't have today. We are in a time that we can call upon God anytime, anywhere, how we want, and he can answer us. I want you to pray. Father, revive me again in a prayer. Revive my intimacy with you. Be embraced with fire and let the fire come back to the altar. Can you pray this prayer? Are you ready to pray? Please be on your feet. Be on your feet, please. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, try and true, with thanksgiving, I will be a living sanctuary for you. Sing it again. Lord, prepare to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, try and true, with thanksgiving, I will be a living sanctuary for you. Pray, ask God, Father, I come back to the altar this night. Let it be a reviver. Let the fire come back to my altar. Pray this prayer now. Pray this prayer. Your family prayers altar. Your personal devotion prayer altar. Let the fire come back. Let the fire come back. You will fight the good fight. You will fight the good fight. You will fight the good fight. You will hold on the eternal life. Oh, pray this prayer now. Father, here we are. Help us, Lord. We need a help. We need a help. We need a help. We need a help. Give us this stamina in a prayer to be a prayer warriors in our generation, in our families. We will not give up. We will fight for our loved one. We will fight in prayer for our kids. We will fight for them, Lord. Give us power. Give us power. Pray this prayer now. May the Lord grant you the power to pray consistently, to hold on prayer, to have a prayer lifestyle. To be like Jesus, praying every time, anywhere, early in the morning, praying for people, praying for situation, having the burden for people, praying for them. Intercession. Pray now. Pray now. Pray now. Pray now. Pray now. Pray now. Amen. The last prayer now. We know all that is not by might, not by power, but it's by His Spirit. In our weaknesses, the Spirit intercedes for us. So you are going to pray. Ask for the Holy Spirit to sustain you, to give you this tenacity, to give you this ability, to give you the strength that you need, to give you the power that you need, to give you the heart that you need to pray for people. You will be your brother's keeper. Pray now. Oh, pray now. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by His Spirit. Let the Spirit of God overshadow us. Give us knowledge, wisdom, the word that we need to declare, to decree, to prophesy. May the Spirit help us. May the Spirit help us. Holy Spirit, we depend on you. We depend on you. We totally depend on you. We lay on you. We know that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your Spirit, O Lord. Grant us your Spirit's ability to pray, to intercede for each other, to pray for our brothers and sisters, to pray for them, to pray for their faith. They won't lose their faith. They will hold on an eternal life, O Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Can you wave your hands to the Lord this night? Wave your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We praise you. Thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We pray, Father God, for everyone that is sick among us. We pray for the divine healing now. We pray for the healing power to operate in the lives of people now. We pray, Father God, for divine restoration. We pray, Father God, for the anointing to function. We pray, Father God, to the unction to function. Anyone that will have this burden to intercede for people, Father God, we pray for them. Give them this power. Give them this ability. Give them these gifts, O Lord. We pray, O Father, thank you for you have done it. Thank you, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.